Can we give this choir a round of applause for letting God use them this morning? Amen. Amen. I hadn't heard At the Cross in a while, man. That was a great hymn, great song. I am truly excited about being here today with you all. I got to meet your pastor, Pastor Jonathan, at a board of directors meeting, and we were at a lunch table, and man, we were just having too good of a time. They didn't put us out because it was lunchtime, and so we were having a great time, and he's funny. And I just got to hear his heart for mission and ministry, and this always stuck with me. So I'm so grateful for him now allowing me this opportunity to come and to be with you all today. You have a beautiful sanctuary. This is an amazing church. I love churches. Some people love looking at universities, looking at other buildings. I love looking at church architecture. And so I am excited about being here with you all today. Prophet, just make sure you know, prophet is a nickname. It is not a title. So my first name is Bartholomew. Bartholomew is my government name, as some people say. And my dad's name is Bertrand, and he is a pastor from Tulsa. And I have five brothers and five sisters, and all our names start with Bert. We're all Bert something. And so I'm Bartholomew. And so my dad's name is Bertrand. His mother's name is Bertha May. And so my mom just let him run with that. And so all the names are Bertresa, Bertrand Jr., Bertrain, Bert Theophilus. And so also we had nicknames. And so Bertrand, his nickname is Choo Choo. So Bert Choo Choo Train, you get it. And Bert Theophilus, his nickname is Judge. And then there is Bertwinette. There's also Bershelin. Then there's me. Then there is Bertrina, Bertabitha, Bertrick, and Bertthaddeus. And so, like I said, my dad was a pastor for like 38 years. And they used to have a joke that said if you had one more Bert, you had to name him Bert Control. Anyways, sorry, you get it. You get it. I'm sorry. You get it. Anyways, I'm sorry, I don't know how to take a turn from that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be in verse 9 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, in verses 9 and in verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. I'll be reading from the ESV. In such a small section of verses, I'm going to read it twice. He says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And once again, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." I want to talk this morning about sowing good while feeling bad. Sowing good while feeling bad. When did you learn that you didn't need to be at 100% to perform? When did you learn that you didn't have to be at 100% to perform? Maybe it was playing sports and you weren't feeling your best and you got out there and you did good anyways. And so you realize, oh man, I can still do this thing even when I'm not feeling my best. Maybe it was when you were at work and you went to work and maybe someone passed away. You're grieving the loss and nevertheless you put in those hours because they needed you. And you realize, man, I wasn't feeling my best today, but I gave it my best. Or maybe you're a parent out there and you had a headache and you had one kid working on math and geometry and trigonometry, whatever, and another kid working on English and you muscled through and you rocked it and you realize that, man, I can do this despite not feeling bad. You sowed good while feeling bad. And when we think of one of the most notable stories of this is of someone who endured while or despite feeling bad. One that comes to mind is Michael Jordan's flu game, right? Michael Jordan has his flu game where he was sick the night before. He was up all night, and Jordan gets has a game the next day, and he plays in his game, game five, the NBA Finals against Utah Jazz, and he scores some 38 points in this game, and they lead the Chicago Bulls to victory. You can sow good while feeling bad. And one of my personal favorites is my father, who pastored for 38 years. He passed away in 2018, but before that, there were some years where he was in and out of the hospital. And sometimes I would go and visit him, and there he is praying with people who had come to visit him. And there's other times where I see him preach, and he wasn't at 100%. Man, we can sow good while feeling bad. John Wesley said, we should do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the people you can, so as long as you can. Another preacher came behind him and said, well, this is kind of how it really is. He says, we get all we can, and we can all we get, and then we sit on our can. To be honest with you. Human beings, y'all, human beings at our core at times, we can be selfish. We're born with that selfish mentality. Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6 teach us that living by the Spirit helps us to live a life of selflessness. Living by the Spirit helps us live a life of selflessness. Living by the Holy Spirit helps us live a life of service, a life for others. In Galatians chapter 5, we discover that we really have two options for work, right? We either do the works of the flesh or we do the works of the Spirit. We look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and verse 17. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. So in other words, what he's saying, he says, hey, when the believer wants to do wrong, the Holy Spirit comes as a wind to their face. But when the believer wants to do right, the Holy Spirit comes as a wind at our back. And then we go on to verses 19 to verse 21, and we see in chapter 5, we see the works of the flesh. The sexual immorality and jealousy and greed and impurity and idolatry and so on and so forth. Then we look at verses 22 and 23. That's where we will find the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience. So on the one hand, we see the vices of the flesh. And on the other hand, we see the virtues of the Spirit. So when we get to chapter 6, chapter 6 continues where chapter 5 leaves off, really. Helping us to know how the Holy Spirit helps us to live a life of service to others. And in chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 10, is really about living for others. Chapter 6 actually starts out with saying, hey, let those who are spiritual restore those who are caught in transgressions. Let those who are spiritual help those who are caught in transgressions. Verse 2 of chapter 6 says this, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. The law of Christ is love your neighbor as yourself. So when we get to verse 9 and it says, let us not grow weary of doing good. And when we take a step back and look at through all scripture, we discover that doing good really is expected of believers. And actually, it's really commanded for us to do good. It's commanded. So firstly, point number one, doing good is commanded work. Doing good is commanded work. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 18, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 18, it says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. We're instructed to do good and to be rich in good works. And for some of us, the only way we're going to be rich is maybe in rich in good works, right? but we should be generous in our good works to have much to share. And we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and 10. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. In other words, we're created for good works. We're created to do this. We're created to help others. We're created to do good works. We look at Matthew 5 and 16, which we know in the same way, let your light shine so before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, that they may see our good works, which and it reflects good on God, that they see the good that we've done. Then in Galatians chapter 1 and 10 says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, bearing fruit in every good way, that Jesus tells us that we are to bear fruit. So doing good is commanded work. It is expected work. And here's the thing. We are not saved by works, but we're saved to do good works. Secondly, doing good is committed work. Doing good is committed work. Listen to what he says. He says, let us not get tired of doing good. We got to be committed to do good. And it may come as a surprise to some of us, right, that we can grow weary doing good. We can grow weary of doing what we love. We can grow weary doing the career job that we love. We can grow weary. But here's the thing. You can grow weary because what we're doing is actual work. This is work. And honestly, ministry is work. Volunteering is work. Serving is work. It's sometimes challenging work. That's why it's tough. It's work because the task, especially in ministry, is never done. The task is never done until Jesus comes back and returns. It's continuous work that we work week in and week out. And sometimes there is no sight of change, but we hang in there understanding we have a God who can do all things. Amen, somebody. The task is never done. But then also, it's work because of my human limitations. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes we get tired, right? We get tired. We're not machines. We're not programmed. We try to balance home life and work life, and we try to balance us trying to serve. And all of that coming together can be tiresome. And it's okay because we're human. We're going to get tired. But here's the thing. This is why we all matter. This is why you matter. We matter because here's the thing. We can share the load. We can share the load. Nobody can do ministry alone. We can share the load. The old school song used to say, you're going to need somebody to lean. You're going to need somebody to lean on sooner or later. We're going to have to rely on someone. It's tiring, but also it's work because we have a trying world. We have a trying world. Sometimes the challenging work that we do is sometimes helping people who are out in the world, who are outside of the church, and sometimes they're dealing with sin. Most of the time, we're dealing with people who are happy that we're serving and helping them. Other times, there's going to be some people that help your prayer life, I'm telling you. There's some people that sometimes may push your buttons, but nevertheless, they remind you why you're there to serve. You're reminded there to be a reflection of Christ. And then sometimes we come into the church and we deal with challenges with each other within the church as well. It's work. But here's the thing. We are called to forgive. We're called to love. We're called to reconcile. We're called to pray for others. But then also it's work because we see others thriving in the world. Sometimes we leave this place and we see people thriving within the world, living life on their own terms, doing whatever they want to do, and sometimes prospering and doing well, and sometimes that could come as a challenge to us. But I want to tell you and remind you, brothers and sisters, that God sees you and God sees them. God sees you. Don't grow weary in doing good. God sees you and God sees them. Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2, says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers and be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Don't grow weary doing good. Yes, God sees you, but also God sees them. And hopefully they come to an understanding of the knowledge of Christ and his saving grace. Hopefully they do, but understand God sees you and he sees them. Remember what David says. He says, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is seed begging bread. God sees you. Verse 9 says, don't be weary. Don't lose heart. What makes us lose heart? Sometimes what makes us lose heart is that we faint because of a lack of devotion to God. We faint because of a lack of trust to God. We faint because of a lack of scripture that we're pouring into our life. We faint because there's a lack of prayer in our life. And before you quit and before you give up, you need to ask, am I weary because I've been putting the wrong fuel in this spiritual vehicle? I'm putting the wrong fuel in. What am I putting in? Am I putting in worldly stuff? What am I listening to? What am I watching? Am I putting in too much of this worldly stuff and not enough of God's word? Now, we're called to be faithful to the task. We're called to be faithful. One minister told me, he says, hey, you be faithful and let God determine your fruitfulness. You be faithful and let God determine the fruit. Thirdly, doing good is commended work. It's commended work. He says, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. It's commended work. We're rewarded for the work that we get to do. If we look at verse 6, actually, believers were responsible to help and to be good, to do good to those who teach them the truth. In verse 6, they were supporting their teachers at times, and this would actually in some ways help bear a burden for that teacher, because that teacher may not have had the funds, and so it was kind of returning the poor. As their teachers are teaching them, they're helping their teachers with material needs. They're helping them as their teachers pouring internal truths into them. They're also helping their teachers with material needs that they needed. So the teacher and the student both sowed and reaped. We look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Four quick points here of reaping and sowing. Firstly, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Man, you can't sow, then hope to change what it is that you have sown. Once it's been sown, it can't be unsown. You can't sow corn and then hope to get wheat, right? You reap what you sow. Secondly, you reap where you sow. We reap either it's going to for the flesh or the Spirit. For the Christian really only has two fields to sow in, their flesh or that of the Spirit. Sometimes we sow in the flesh in every day. We sow in the flesh and we hope to at the end of the week to reap some holiness. But at the same time, how can we if we only been sowing in our flesh? I like this quote that says, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Last week, some sad news came on TV. As I was watching, there was a couple, thought they were being secretive, and they went to a Coldplay concert, and they thought they were a couple. The only problem is that they didn't belong to each other. They belonged to someone else. And as they were panning around looking at couples, they saw them, and they scattered out of there like two roaches in the kitchen, you know. They got out of there. But man, the scripture tells us, man, we sow in the flesh, we reap corruption. It's a warning to all of us. We reap where we sow. But then he says, you reap after you've sown. We reap after we've sown. 4 months elapsed between planting and harvesting time. The rewards of reaping are certain if we don't give up. The rewards of reaping are certain if we don't give up. But here's the thing, we can't harvest oranges the day after we planted the seeds. We don't get the harvest the next day. Only God determines when our fruit will come from our work. And we must give the seed time to take root. But also we have to trust that God will, in his own timing, help us, that we have to make sure that we're planting and sowing our time, our talent, and our treasure. Lastly, we reap more than we sow. You reap more than you sow. Farmers reap sometimes 30 times, 60 times, 100 times what was sown. And this is my problem with karma. I can't stand it. So many people use it in language that we throw around, but karma is connected to a whole religion. But karma is 3 plus 3, right? You get exactly what you give. But reaping and sowing is 3 times 3. It's 3 times 6. It's 3. It's better than karma. And honestly, some people, everybody wants karma until it's something that they've done wrong, right? Listen, then also, doing good is community work. And I'm done. Verse 10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the house of faith. And so notice he's saying, he says, hey, we take care of those who are outside of our community, but we especially take care of those who are within our community as well. It's community work, it's caring work. The things we do in our community, you all, at times really win us the right to be heard. It wins us the right to be heard. I've seen it myself that you're someone who's hungry. It's hard for them to hear the words of the gospel when they're hungry. Or where they have something coming up and they don't have any clothes to wear. It's hard for them to hear. But when we help our community, it wins us the right to be heard, to share the gospel. But notice, a lack of holiness hinders real community. A lack of holiness hinders real community. And what I mean by that, greed comes from sowing in the flesh, but generosity comes from sowing in the spirit. Greed comes from sowing in the flesh, but generosity comes from sowing in the spirit, right? It's hard to give up my time and my talent and my treasure when I'm really living like it's all about me. It's hard to do that, but it's not about me. It's about others. It's bigger than me. It's about others. A few years ago, I was at Langston, and I got to serve at BCM Ministry, and there was a lady within that community. Her name was Miss Johnson. She was 95 years old. And I heard her quote this poem by Charles Meigs by the name of Others. And I fell in love with the poem. And the poem simply says this: Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to even be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must need be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts to be risen again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. I want to remind you all that we may not be able to experience some of the shade from some of the trees that we planted, some of the seeds that we planted for the future. We may not be able to experience the shade of it. But in the same way, we are experiencing the shade of those in the past who had planted, realizing that, hey, I may not be able to experience this, but those in 2025 will be able to experience it. We're blessed because they saw and thought enough of us to plant various seeds of evangelism, various seeds of service, various seeds of discipleship within this community that we're able to benefit, various seeds of financial seeds that we may be able to benefit from it. And the question today is, what seeds are you planting for the church tomorrow? But seeds of the church, are we planning for the church tomorrow? Seeds, financial seeds, discipleship seeds, evangelism seeds, children's ministry seeds. What seeds are we planning for tomorrow? So I'm done. The biggest shade tree is that of the cross. Biggest shade tree is that of the cross. And we'll be able to experience the shade of what he did that day, what he planted that day, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. The work he's done, we're able to benefit from it. And matter of fact, actually, it's really doesn't even seem fair because we get to sow in faith a minor seed, a small seed in faith. But here's the thing, we get to reap eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? We get to sow a seed of faith, but at the same time, we get eternal life through it. It's the ultimate reaping and sowing. It's ultimate reaping and sowing. When you think about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross that day, he may have been talking about Jesus with his partner in crime. But at some point, he came to a realization of who Jesus was. He says, man, don't you realize he had done nothing wrong? So we deserve to be here. He's done nothing wrong. He says, bid me to come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Imagine, here's this guy, he had done nothing. He had no church clothes. He had no had been to no business meeting. But Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. And so, let us pray. Dear gracious God, our Father, Lord, we thank you this day. We thank you for this beautiful church. We thank you for those of the past, Lord, names that I don't know, but Lord, you know, who've sown seeds of financial seeds and evangelism seeds, service seeds and children's seeds and youth ministry seeds that help us to be in this spot today. Lord, we're so grateful. We thank you, Lord, for each and every person here and those who are even not here, Lord. We're grateful for what's happening here, First Baptist Church, Enid, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the future. We pray, Lord, that we see the benefit, the sweat equity that we need to put in, Lord, to help get this church to reach the community, to help others. Reach those even, Lord, in Spain. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what's already happening and taking place, Lord. That those 25 and 50 years down the road will be grateful for what was sown in 2025. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor for everything you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm gonna wait 1 second. 1 second. The Holy Spirit's cool. Brother, thank you so much for your message and what the Holy Spirit poured into our church this morning from his word is what has been poured in my heart for the last 2 months. And some of our students, some of our adults have had either the privilege or the unfortunate opportunity to talk to me about what it means to do the work of the gospel. And guys, we have to do the work of the gospel. And we hear that and we're like, man, I know the work of the gospel, sharing the gospel. I think we're conditioned to believe that's all it is, but it is so much more than that. That is such a crucial part of it. But I want to go to heaven tired. Is Aaron, our Ecuador team, they got back from Ecuador Saturday, right? When you got back Saturday, you were tired. Friday, you were tired. Right, you were ready to get into bed. You wanted that more than anything else, and that's how I want to walk into heaven. Is I want to walk into heaven anxious for death because I know that I get to rest. But the only way we get to that point is if we are actively doing the gospel and doing the work of the gospel every single day. And you may think right now I don't have the opportunity to go out and share with someone. Then what does it look like in fighting your own sin? What is the work of the gospel in repenting from sin and working on holiness? Our brother said that holiness keeps us from community or opens a door for community work, but a lack of holiness keeps us away from it. Is we believe this lie that yes, the truth that yes, we all have sinned, but that Satan ends a lie on the end of that. He attaches a lie on the end of that of yes, we have all sinned, so I can't help myself, but we can help ourselves. In Galatians, he read just a little bit before in chapter 5. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. Guys, I don't see an option there. I don't see an excuse there. I don't see an excuse for us as believers who have been walking into the Spirit and walking in our salvation and walking in Christ and called to the work of the gospel. I don't see an excuse of, well, I have to sin. Are you found in Jesus, and did Jesus forgive your sins? Did he die on the cross for us to have an excuse of, well, I'm just human? We have grace for the moments we make a mistake, and we have grace for the moments of weakness. But Paul himself says, do not allow that grace to be an excuse. That is the work of the gospel. Our worship this morning is a work of the gospel. What's amazing is we're going right into school, and that is 95% of my focus right now is what are we going to look like as a church in the schools and the lives of these students as they go out. And this Wednesday, I will hit them with the typical, hey, you're going to school, live the gospel to your friends. But what's amazing about the words of, I heard it yesterday, the words of Billy Graham is he was on an interview, and he said, if you're not dead, you're not done. What's amazing about our students is they have 8 hours a day with their peers, the majority of which do not know Christ as their Savior. But how much more time do those in the nursing home have with your neighbors? How much more time do you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the same people every single day who don't know Jesus. Have those opportunities every single day. And as a student pastor, I've never challenged our senior adults the way that I just have. You have an amazing opportunity that the Lord's given you, and you're not done yet. As we have sports for our kids, we have family time, we have opportunities where we're working at racetracks, at Stride Center, at our schools, at the bank. If you're looking at your life and you're saying, everyone in my life is a believer, then encourage those believers. But I would love to see you up here anytime during this week with the homeless people walking back and forth hot in the middle of the day and pass out water and share the gospel with them. As I've started, this is a conviction for me that our students, I'm not going to cry this time. At Falls Creek, I broke down quite a bit, and I confessed some apathy. And I'm confessing that same apathy to y'all is I was apathetic for the beginning of this year. And I've started opening my eyes to what the work of the gospel looks like in my life. And it began with the repentance of sin. It began with praying, Holy Spirit, fill my life. And then God has begun opening doors over and over and over. And one of those doors that is wide open for our church every single week is I've had the opportunity to walk outside of my office and begin talking to people out in front of our church, taking them water. And he's right, is get to know your community and opens the doors for the gospel. There's a young man outside a couple weeks ago, tattoos on his face, really, really sweet young man named Zach, that God really laid on my heart. I had the opportunity to take him some water that Sunday morning, invite him to church. He didn't show up that day. I don't know if he's here this morning because I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, had the opportunity this weekend to talk to him again. I was going to go to Hope Outreach. I was going to hunt him down on Friday because I knew the Holy Spirit was like, go speak to him. And what do you know? I'm mowing outside the church and he comes walking down the street. That's a God moment. If you're looking for the Holy Spirit and the work of the gospel in your life, then just open your eyes. But you better bet that the work of the gospel in your lives is going to begin with the repentance of sin and prayer, saying, God, use me as you have used everybody before me. We have grown comfortable in the shade of the trees of those planted before us. I want there to be trees left whenever they're my age. When my baby grows up into a woman, I pray, honoring God and living everything she can, I want to make sure that there's a tree left for her to continue the work of the gospel. And whenever I walk through the gates of heaven, when I am laying on my bed in death, hopefully at an old age, but God willing, whenever he wants to take me, when I walk into the presence of the Lord, I want to walk into the presence of the Lord needing rest and tired because I spend every day doing the work of the gospel. I want to walk into this church every Sunday morning anticipating rest and anticipating fellowship because I need it, because I was so tired from resisting my sin every single day. I'm so tired from seeking out the opportunity to share the gospel. I was so tired from trying to raise my family in the truth of Scripture that I need you every single week because I just need some rest. We're tired, yes. Life is hard. I want to make my life harder with the gospel. So we're going to have an opportunity to have an invitation this morning. After the service, I'll be down here if anybody needs prayer. But if you need a community and it's you're looking and you're searching for a church, then I would love to have an opportunity to talk to you about what it means to join and be a member of our church. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you because you're tired. I would love the opportunity to pray with you because you're resisting sin and you feel alone in that fight and you just can't hold on and you're tired of going back to the same filth every single day, which Galatians very clearly, Paul said, is opposed to the Spirit of God. I want to pray with you. We have, if more people need prayer, we have deacons that can come pray as well. I want to pray with you if you are searching for salvation and you're saying, I know the Spirit is calling to me, but what does this mean and what does it mean to follow Jesus? So we're going to stand and we're going to sing. Go ahead, stand with me while we pray. We're going to have our amazing team up here lead us in a song of worship and invitation. The word of God has been spoken. Let's pursue that. Father God, we thank you for our brother, Prophet Bailey, Lord, as he came with the word of God this morning, as your word was proclaimed. I pray as your word was proclaimed that we would change, God. That every single one of us, when we are confronted with your presence, confronted with the truth of the gospel, we know something in us maybe needs a tweak, maybe needs a complete change in repentance, Lord. And I pray that you would bring that today, Lord. That you would bring change to our church. That we know, Lord, that holiness is commanded by you, Lord. But holiness is also made possible through you, Jesus. God, I pray that we pursue that holiness so that you will use us in the work of the gospel, so that you will use us in the work of sharing the gospel with the lost and speaking of the gospel unto those who are the beloved, Lord. Pray this morning that you would bring us to our knees if need be, and for those who are encouraged and those who are not broken or those in their hearts are on fire for you right now, that they would step aside those who are broken with grace and redemption and reconciliation, Lord, so that a picture of Jesus is seen this morning. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.